This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, September 1st. Well, we put August behind us, a hot month that certainly had its weather challenges, especially in the western Midwest, where we look at drought continuing to expand across western Iowa and finally starting to have some impact on the market. That drought and dryness issue has been there for the whole growing season. And yet the market has largely ignored it, as the rest of the Midwest has done quite well. And late in this season, we're starting to see some significant yield impact from it, along with the straight line winds from the derecho here a few weeks ago. So, you know, western Iowa through central and just barely stretching into eastern Iowa. And of course, that clips some of eastern South Dakota and northern Missouri, but for the most part it's centered on Iowa, and it's the heart of the Midwest. It's heart of corn and bean country, but it just simply wasn't enough to really continue the weather market that had a little bit of a bump earlier this summer, and now we're seeing another bump here late in the growing season. We actually gapped higher coming out of the weekend in corn and soybeans, but we couldn't hold those gaps. And that's concerning, considering, you know, how far the move has come. We retested the highs from that earlier weather spike in late June, early July. And then the market once again appears to be stalling. This time around, though, we're at the tail end of the growing season, and in fact, we're well into the dent, and we're going to be starting harvest just around the corner as far as the Delta and the southern Midwest, but we're not that far away, and I think yields are a bit more established there. So about a week ago, we had the Pro Farmer Tour estimating corn yields at 177.5. And now we're seeing some of the private guys come in with their estimates. They're just still slightly above Pro Farmer, and that is slightly below where USDA was here last month. So yields are kind of converging right around for corn 177 to 179. USDA is still around 181. That's where they were a few weeks ago. And in soybeans, similar thing. We're hovering right around 52 to 53 bushels an acre, which is about one less than what USDA had projected. So we seem to be honing in on yields and also production estimates, which is still going to be big. We're still looking at record production coming out of corn and soybeans, record yields as well. So that's kind of the overriding thing. Now, demand has been great from China. They bought a lot of corn and soybeans and even some wheat that has obviously supported the market. But a stronger corn market is going to lend some support to wheat regardless. But as the corn market started to struggle yesterday and falter and actually close lower, in December anyway, we had a pretty significant reversal down in December. But the wheat market managed to hold itself for the most part. It too backed off of the highs, but it still managed to close higher. And we saw some of the spreads widening back out with some strength coming to Kansas City versus Chicago. The wheat space, I think, is going to be able to stand on its own, at least to some degree. If you get a serious selling pressure in corn and beans, that's going to spill over to wheat as well. But for wheat, we're looking at world prices that have been moving higher. You know, last week, we started out with the FOB offers out of Russia about $5 a ton higher than the previous week. By the end of the week, we were up about $7 a ton. Now, yesterday, coming out of this past weekend, we're up another $7 a ton. So Russian interior and FOB offers are moving swiftly higher. And really, it's kind of catching up with where the U.S. is and where the European Union is. So as I mentioned last week, they have some room to move, but they're going to be quickly pretty much bumping up with where the rest of the world is. And I think that's going to be kind of a stall out point. We're still looking at big production coming out of Russia as far as winter wheat goes. So we see kind of a relaxing of nervousness coming out of Russia and the likelihood that they're not going to impose any export restrictions. The one thing that could happen in Russia is that we're noting, And they have been reporting as well that spring wheat production has taken a pretty big hit. Now, that could be an issue for the broader world market, not that they export spring wheat, but that China likes to import spring wheat. And if they're not going to be able to get it from Russia, they're going to come other places. And really, the only other place is North America. U.S. and Canada both are coming in with some pretty large spring wheat crops, so I don't think it's going to set off a massive bull market in Minneapolis. But it could offer some stability, especially if you see corn and beans start to head lower into harvest and that drags Chicago wheat. It could be supportive for spring wheat. What I think will be supportive for hard red winter wheat as well versus Chicago is the dryness that is expanding in Argentina. We've got a La Nina event going on. That would suggest good rains across Australia, which they've received, and poor rains across Argentina, which has been the case there as well. And it kind of looks like that might extend here in the near term. So you're getting the growing season started in the Southern Hemisphere, and Australia's off to just a barn burner start, and Argentina not so much. Now, Argentina, of course, is hard red winter wheat. That could set the tone for more demand coming from Brazil and also from some of these other Southeast Asian markets that would be looking at hard red winter. They're going to be looking at the United States. So I think that's going to be supportive for those spreads of KC versus Chicago. So a lot going on, but I think in the bigger picture, the wheat market has had a good run. It too is bumping up against some notable resistance levels, and we need to be aware of that, especially in Chicago, and especially since we had a nice big strong start yesterday coming out of the weekend and struggling to hang on to that, especially in Minneapolis. Of course, you're still in harvest there. U.S. nationwide, we're at 69% complete with the harvest. Montana's, for spring wheat, Montana's at 74% done. That's up 19 on the week, up 2 on the average. North Dakota's only at 59%. It's up 20 on the week, but still 16 points behind the average. Stats Canada putting out their production estimates yesterday. Wheat at 35.7 million tons. That's up 3.5 million over last year. It's the second largest crop on record. And they're still up about 1.5 over USDA's estimate. Canola production at 19.4 million tons. That's about unchanged from a year ago. European Union projecting that their wheat exports will be around 25 million tons. That's down 13 million from last year's record. So they had a huge crop last year, but clearly that's not the case this year. It's going to be down about 33% from last year's record, their exports. So I think in the bigger picture, wheat market looks like it's kind of struggling here. Corn and beans looks like they've probably put in a seasonal high. And the wheat market probably is forming its top as well. But I think the spreads are going to work with KC versus Chicago. Minneapolis has, I think, you need to give it a little more time until we get deeper into the Canadian spring wheat harvest before we find a low in that spread. Look for some problems to develop in Argentina, which will be supportive for Kansas City wheat, and a big crop from Australia. So you're going to have aggressive exports from Russia and Ukraine trying to get ahead of Australia. That's going to keep world pipelines well supplied, and I think be a lid on world wheat prices for the next few months at least. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. You can reach me at 1-800-888-9843.